The United States military has long accepted its subordinate role to the civilian government. When ordered to make changes such as racial integration or admitting women into the various service academies, the military establishment resisted but finally gave way to the elected officials set over it by the Constitution. It did not necessarily have to happen that way. We know from modern scientific theory that there are an infinite number of alternate worlds, and therefore an infinite number of alternate Americas, where history has taken a different course from the one we know. Some of the alternates must be so strange as to be unrecognizable, while others so similar as to be almost identical to our own world. This story is set in the United States, where the military gained the upper hand early in the history of the Republic and the civilian government was reduced to a mere tool of the generals. In that world, the United States became the leading superpower after the Second World War, as here. Unlike here, however, a dangerous rival arose in the 1990s after the collapse of the Soviet Empire in China. The China of that history, having built up its industrial base to become a leading economic power, used its new muscle to create a huge modern military establishment to carry out an expansionist foreign policy. The United States and its allies sustained a series of defeats at the hands of the Chinese, beginning with the loss of Taiwan in 1993. China went on to invade and conquer the small nations of Southeast Asia one after the other, and followed with a successful invasion of the Philippines in 2004. Japan fell into the Chinese orbit without a fight the next year. In 2009, China crushed a combined U.S., Australian, and Indonesian army and occupied the entire archipelago of Indonesia. This disaster led to the removal of the United States Chief of Staff, who had presided over this string of defeats, and to the elevation to the top spot of General Bernard Grant Cafferson. Under Cafferson, women were permitted to enlist in the armed services starting in 2009. For the first 2 years, women were not allowed to rise above the rank of sergeant. There were no female officers. Not, that is, until the National Women's Military Academy was founded on the grounds of a nearly abandoned army base at High Point, Pennsylvania in 2011, at the insistence of the Chief of the General Staff. The purpose of the academy was to train beautiful, intelligent women to be efficient staff officers to top generals and admirals, but also to enslave them and make them submissive sexual playthings for those high-ranking officers. Cafferson agreed to this bizarre arrangement only reluctantly, for reasons that will become clear. Chapter 1. Welcome to the Real Army. Private Robin Bransom stepped down from the bus that had been her home for the better part of 2 days, took a deep breath, and stretched her shoulders and legs to get the kinks out. Robin was 5'4" and weighed 110 pounds soaking wet. She had a slender, attractive shape that not even her unflattering gray-green uniform could completely conceal. Her stomach was flat and her waist narrow, matching well her small, proud breasts and firm buttocks. Her long, copper-red hair was confined in a French braid, and its color contrasted sharply with her big sky-blue eyes while complementing the freckles sprinkled lightly on her upturned nose. There was the hint of a smile perpetually hovering over the corners of her lips. Robin dropped her heavy duffel bag to the ground and took a long look around at her new home. She was not encouraged. Along with the other women still scrambling down from the bus, she stood on a flat dirt field that stretched at least 100 yards away from her in every direction. There was a running track and some exercise equipment off in the distance to her right. Straight ahead was a weathered 2-story wooden building from which gray paint was peeling. A sign on the front identified it as the Office of Cadet Commandant. Further away, behind the Commandant's office, were rows of long, low wooden buildings, also badly in need of paint. These, Robin supposed, were to be the barracks for the new cadets, the first class of women chosen by the Army for officer training. Surrounding the entire campus was a gray, forbidding, 20-foot-high fieldstone wall. It was not a very cheerful place, more closely resembling a prison than it did a school. Still, it was the National Women's Military Academy, and she was one of the select few chosen to be in the very first class. Her heart swelled with pride, as it did every time she thought about the great and, to her mind, undeserved honor. She still found it a little difficult to believe. Her thoughts traveled back 3 days to when she learned of her appointment to the NWMA.